Come on, Dr. Dre, crank it up, man.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Here we go. Oh yeah. Adjust your radio. Talk to Sports and Sports Medicine officially on the air.
My time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
Time is now.
I fell off, I'm still hot, knock your shell off. My money stacked back.
Oh yeah. You like that, Rob? Keep the intro going a little bit longer, of course. You are talking sports with the 12 minutes. Today is Tuesday, May the 7th. Man, we are officially on the air. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my second-in-command. He's up at two, Mr. Robert Ford. As always, I would not be further to introduce him. Check in with Mr. Robert Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to talk some sports, man. How was your day today, Doc?
It's been a long day, man. I've been traveling, man. Just got back in from Nashville, so all is well. But, you know, I am like you. I'm rejuvenated, definitely ready for some talking.
He was scouting out the Tennessee Titans at training camp today, Doc, huh?
Did some training camp stuff, man. So it's been good, man. So, yeah, let's go ahead and jump right into it, sir. We have a lot of great topics to discuss, sir. For those who want to call into the show, I've always got to give out the numbers. The numbers to call into the show. 424-243-9519. That's 424-243-9519. We're also live on Twitter. You can follow us also on Facebook at facebook.com/12minutesports, as well as at 12minutesports for our Twitter. So without further ado, Rob, a lot of fun things to discuss. The NBA playoffs are actually right in session. And let's go ahead and jump into that, sir. It's been a lot of exciting series. In the second round, and this is a great question to start off with, sir, in kind of asking about the Chicago Bulls. And it seems like they're one of these teams that's definitely getting by, sir, just with by heart, you know. And they actually beat a questionably more talented team in the Brooklyn Nets. Now they're facing the Heat, and I guess the question is, do you think their heart is going to actually thwart the Heat's talent? And I guess, what do you think about this, sir? Do you think this is a situation where – you know, just kind of a situation where, you know, some of the parts is greater than the talent, sir?
Well, number one, I think Chicago is a very well-coached team. Tom Thibodeau could be one of the best in business, if not the best in the business. You're talking about one of the best defensive-minded coaches in the game. You know, his defensive philosophy is tremendous. And last night they just played a tremendous hard game, a lot of effort. And that team's just going to give it its all no matter who's on the floor for that team. And you got to credit the coaching staff there. And I do still like the Heat to win this series. And but I think, you know, last night was a wake-up call for the Heat. You know, you just got to bring it. You can't rely on your talent just to come out there and win games for you. You got to give effort. You got to play 100%, 110% for that matter. And I think last night will be a great wake-up call for the Heat. I think in the end, the Heat still wins this series about 4-2. But, you know, you got to like the way the Chicago Bulls play. They play hard. They're well-coached. They play great defense. And I think this team will bring out maximum effort from the Miami Heat, and which probably may help Miami Heat going forward. You know, sometimes after you sweep a team in the first round, you know, you have to – it's hard to go from playing a team like the Bucks to the Bulls, where you probably was able to beat a Bucks team when not giving 110%. But now you have to. You're going to have to bring your lunch pail to beat this Bulls team.
Yeah, this Bulls team, like you said, man, well, very, very well coached. And this is a situation I guess I'd like to ask you. Do you think – we've asked this question before. Do you have to have talent or do you have good coaching? Do you think good coaching helps to get the best out of certain – because I've seen situations where teams that have been – and that better coach, they've actually beaten more talented teams, because sometimes the teams that are more talented don't think they have to work as hard, and you have a team that wants to play hard. The teams that always seem to get ahead, sir. And I don't know if that's something that's a situation, too. I agree with you. I think that the Heat are going to win the series, but, you know, they just ran into a team that just had that will that, you know, we're going to, you know, give her all no matter what.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Like I said, this Chicago Bulls team is not scared. They're going to come and fight. They're going to play hard every night, and the Heat is going to have to play to maximum effort to beat this team, and I think they will. I mean, they responded last year when the Celtics got ahead of them in the playoffs. And, you know, a couple of years back with a healthy Derrick Rose, the Bulls went up 1-0, and the Heat came back and won four games in a row. And so I don't know if it's going to be 4-1, but I think the Heat wins this series 4-2 over the Bulls. And like I said, I think last night was a wake-up call, and you're going to see a more aggressive Miami Heat team tomorrow night and the rest of the series.
Yeah, LeBron is already basically talking about he's got something for the Bulls, and that's okay. You know, I mean, I think it may be a situation to Rob where, you know, Miami had kind of a lot of time to rest, and it seemed like, you know, the Bulls just got off of that last series, so I think it's going to be interesting to see what actually plays out, too. So I think they'll be ready, and they'll be kind of keyed in for sure, sir.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's talk about this, man. What an exciting game, man. You talk about fun. You know, the Spurs actually overcome the Golden State Warriors in a thrilling 2-overtime game. I don't know if you want to talk about this. You know, just a great game, you know, obviously. And I know we're kind of tuned into the playoffs right now. You know, the Spurs, it seems like they kind of were able to, you know, get by a little bit, kind of having a little bit more experience in this thing. What do you think about this particular game, sir?
Well, yeah, you know, the Warriors had a big lead on the Spurs, and it's hard to believe that the Spurs came back from 16-point down in the fourth quarter to pull this game out in double overtime. And this Warriors team, I tell you, they didn't play this well throughout the regular season, but then to step it up come playoff time is pretty amazing. And this team is not going to be an easy out for the Spurs. And, you know, I know we have a lot of fans in the Bay Area that listen to our show that probably is, you know, very intrigued by this series. You know, I could easily see this being a seven-game series where initially I may have thought the Spurs were winning five or six, but I can easily see this being a seven-game series. The Spurs have a lot of size with David Lee and Andrew Bogut, and they have the guard play. This is a team that should be a top two or three team in the West next year. And maybe even win this series to get to the Western Conference Finals this year. This team has talent, and they have a good mix of young and old. You know, Harrison Barnes is coming into his own now. And so this is going to be a very interesting series. But I guess the only mistake the Warriors really made last night was how did you leave Manu Ginobili wide open in that double overtime?
Yeah. I mean, Manu Ginobili hits that three to kind of make it, you know, like I said, to pull out the game. But, you know, like you said, it's a situation where you talk about it a lot of times, too, where, you know, certain teams that they're just getting in there, they're kind of young and they're kind of figuring out how to win, Rob. That's a situation, too. Well, they'll learn their lesson. I know it's kind of a tough lesson to learn, you know, but like I said, you know, you can't lose your composure with that, you know, that last, you know, last couple minutes of the game, obviously. And then also, like you said, they were able to let the Spurs back into this game. They should have closed it out. But the Spurs were able to pull, like I said, you know, having that experience and being an older team, they're able to do some things for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. That's going to be another fun series. High scoring games should be one of the more entertaining series left out of all four series in the playoffs.
Gotcha. We're going to keep moving. Obviously, we are talking sports with 12 Men. Today is Tuesday, May the 7th. Don't forget to give us your thoughts, give us your feedback, anything you want to discuss. Talk about, obviously, the number to call into the show. It's 424-243-9519. We are also on Twitter. You can actually hit us up at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And also we're on Facebook, facebook.com/talkingsports with the 12 men. So we are kicking it right along, sir. And let's discuss some other playoff series. We were talking about it earlier. In addition to that, you know, looks like the Knicks have actually tied up the series with Indiana with the 105-79 win. They're able to even up that series, Rob. I don't know if you want to discuss this. I mean, the first series, Indiana came in there, did their thing, handled the business. And I think it's a good win to get a split. I would say this is a good start if you're Indiana to get that first split whenever you go back home. And we talked about it that the Knicks were more of a jump-shooting team, and they kind of – got back to getting serious, playing some defense, and the Knicks were able to pull it out.
Well, yeah, the Knicks, they were just hitting everything tonight, especially in the fourth quarter. They couldn't miss, and Indiana just took a bad time to go into a slump. And so, you know, you have to credit the New York Knicks for responding. This is another one of these series that I think it easily goes seven games. Could be nip and tuck back and forth in this series. The Knicks are the kind of team that live and die by the three-point shot. And so if that shot is falling, they're going to be tough to beat. But, of course, you know, you die by the 3-2. So if the shot's not falling, they'll be an easy team to beat. And so we'll have to see. It looks like Amar'e Stoudemire may be back for Game 3. Sometimes you think when you get a star player back, it's going to help you. But sometimes it hurts your chemistry as well. You know, you don't get enough time to kind of gel. So you have to wonder if this is going to help the Knicks or hurt the Knicks with him possibly coming back Game 3 this Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's definitely going to be interesting to see how they're kind of fitting in, because that chemistry is very, very important. You know, sometimes you may have a situation where it seems like the Knicks are kind of flowing with Carmelo. Maybe having Amari is going to, like, slow things down. But it's tough, man, to have a guy that's as talented as Amar'e Stoudemire. You know, you wonder about that, sir, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how they're able to gel without any practice time, just any game time together in months. And so
yeah,
you have to wonder if this is really going to help them or not.
Gotcha. We are moving right along, sir. Anything else you want to talk about? Obviously, let's talk about the next series. Looks like OKC is obviously leading at halftime. Or excuse me, Memphis is leading OKC 54-51 at halftime. That's the next game, obviously. I don't know if you want to comment on this game. OKC seems to kind of stabilize themselves, and they're kind of getting focused in as well. Why don't you talk about this real quick, sir?
Well, yeah, this is a series that I think I have to still lean toward Memphis here without Russell Westbrook. Even though Russell Westbrook can be erratic and Reggie Jackson is playing well in his place, I like the Grizzlies to pull this series out in about six games. And I think this is going to be a key game for the Grizzlies to win tonight. And I like this team. I think Lionel Hollins is one of the more underrated coaches in the game. I think very good coach, very strategic coach. Doesn't get as much credit as he deserves. And I like this Memphis team. I think, and I'll be honest with you, I think they have a strong chance to come out of Western Conference. I'm not going to say they are. I think I'll still slightly lean toward the Spurs. But I think this Grizzlies team has a slight chance of making it to the finals. And I tell you what, Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, probably two of the most efficient under-the-rim players that I've ever seen in a game. These guys can't even jump over a dollar bill. But they're so smart. They play the game. They use the pump fakes. You can be more athletic than them, but they're going to just outsmart you. They're going to pump fake you to death, and they're going to get you up in the air. They're going to make you foul them. And they're just very smart, heady ball players, cerebral, and they know how to game, and they're hard to stop on the low post. And they pass the ball extremely well, too, for big men.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, like you said, I still think, like I said, losing Rudy Gay kind of hurt them, too. We talked about this earlier. You know, but I think for now, they're doing a good job, like you talked about, you know, just playing underneath the rim. High percentage shooters, Rob, that's kind of something that's very interesting, too. So, you know, we'll see if they're able to actually get over the rim, get over the hump. Now is a goal. We talk about windows, Rob, and I think now is an actual good window because, you know, OKC kind of looks a little vulnerable, sir. You know, so we'll keep that moving as far as what's going to happen, too. But, you know, you got the Spurs looming, and obviously whoever wins, I still think they're going to run into a very focused Miami Heat team. So, you know, there's certain teams, you know, it's not going to be an easy road for the Heat either. But, you know, obviously that's what I'm looking for. Moving right along with that, sir.
Yeah, I'll, you know, just another note here, you know, really quick about these playoff series here. You look at the Grizzlies and you look at, you know, the Spurs. You know, it's going to come down to, you know, can the Spurs stop these big men of the Grizzlies? And, you know, Duncan, of course, I think can hold his own. But the Spurs don't have another big man that can probably battle Gasol and Randolph. So that's going to be real interesting. I think the Grizzlies have a slight chance, you know, a very slight chance. But I think they have an outside chance of possibly upsetting the Spurs here in the next round. And, I, you know, getting back to your point with Rudy Gay, I actually think the Grizzlies are better without Rudy Gay. I think Tayshaun Prince is a better defensive player. I think they do lose a little bit offensively, but Tayshaun Prince has got veteran leadership. He's been to the NBA Finals. He's won a championship. And I think he's brought a certain pedigree to that ball club. And he's got great length. He gets in the passing lanes. He's disruptive. And he, like I say, he's not the scorer that Rudy Gay is, but I think he does quite a few things. And that's probably what Grizzlies needed, a very good role player right there to mesh with Randolph and Gasol. So I just think they're slightly better without Gay.
I don't know. I think that's nuts, man. But that's okay. You know, I'll keep it going, too.
We're all tired of your opinion.
We are. You know, that's what it's all about. We are just talking sports, which is what we're doing. Let's talk about this. You know, obviously, LeBron James wins the MVP Most Valuable Player, gave a passionate speech that he wished he had like 15 of them to pass on to his teammates. And you know, like I said, he went from the villain to being the hero again, which is an interesting role for LeBron. Do you think anyone else was actually deserving of the MVP? I mean, was Carmelo a choice? I don't know what you think about any other players that you think was deserving as far as winning besides LeBron. I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this too, sir.
Well, I'll be honest with you. You know, I know there was one other sports writer for the Boston Globe that voted for Carmelo. Everybody else voted for LeBron. I think if anybody else deserved a first-place vote, it would have been Kevin Durant. In my opinion, not Carmelo. Carmelo had a very good year, not taking anything away from him. But the only other player who could have been worthy would have been Kevin Durant and not Carmelo. I wouldn't have had a problem with LeBron or Kevin Durant winning it this year.
Gotcha. Doing good. Let's also talk. I agree with you. Like I said, you know, I was throwing out Carmelo because that was the one vote that you actually heard. As you know, I'm a big Kevin Durant fan, so, you know, if Kevin would have won that, I wouldn't have been mad as well. But, you know, like I said, LeBron has just been kind of doing his thing, so you definitely got to give him a lot of props as far as what he's doing. It's going to be tough for him once again, so they got to find the right recipe, sir. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out, too, in this particular playoffs. Let's talk about the last thing before we move on to changing sports here. There is a major trade rumor that's being discussed between the Clippers and the Celtics. Looks like the Clippers are really trying to acquire Kevin Garnett from the Celtics. And, you know, I'm curious about this. You know, Kevin Garnett is definitely an older player. He's 37 years old. You know, I don't know if it's kind of too little too late. You know, it's a situation where it looks like maybe it's Caron Butler and Eric Bledsoe. I'm not sure a lot about this, but I'm not sure exactly how I'm looking at the trade rumors right now. Is this a good move for them? I mean, is it kind of a situation, Rob, where, you know, they're trying to get some toughness here? Or what do you think about this particular move?
Well, I tell you what, this is a very interesting trade rumor here. And, you know, the Clippers are trying to do everything to appease Chris Paul right now to keep him in Los Angeles. There's a lot of talk about Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan doesn't necessarily get along with Chris Paul, the tide of his tough talk and things of that nature. And in my opinion, you're going to trade a young superstar and Blake Griffin for aging veterans like Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. And it just doesn't seem to make sense to me. Now, keep in mind, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett has a championship pedigree. That is true. And might add a little bit more toughness to the Clippers. But, you know, if I'm Chris Paul, you have to really think about, hey, you know, can you win a championship with these guys at their age? And so the rumored trade is going to be Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett to the Clippers for Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Eric Bledsoe, and I'm missing a fourth player. Help me out here, Andre. Caron Butler. There we go. Caron Butler is a fourth player.
Eric Bledsoe, and then for Paul Pierce and for Kevin Garnett. Yep, you got it.
Yeah, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan also included in the trade. And also the rumor is that Doc Rivers will also
Doc
be
Rivers.
Part of the trade, that he will leave the Celtics to be the coach of the Clippers, which is unbelievable. So, I mean, all this is rumored speculation right now. Stephen A. Smith truly believes that this thing has a really good chance of happening. But, you know, to me, I just don't see how this would really help the Clippers trading young players for older players, which, you know, may give you a chance at 1 year, a chance of winning the title, but I just don't see it. I just do not see how this will help the Clippers. Matter of fact, I think they'll be taking a step backwards with this trade. And I think if you're the Celtics, you will love this trade because you're going to be contending still for more years to come with a front court of Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, and DeAndre Jordan. And you get Rajon Rondo back, and you got yourself a ball club again up there in Boston. And so I think, you know, if you're the Celtics, you love this. In my opinion, I just don't see how this will help the Clippers. And I don't see how this will help Chris Paul win a championship, which he wants to do. So it's kind of mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up, sir. I agree with you. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm a big fan of Paul Pierce, and you know, you like the way he plays the game. They're getting up there, sir. And trying to win a championship, you have to kind of have all the right pieces, Rob. And I understand what's going on too, because Chris Paul, you got players that are really young, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, they're feuding. And sometimes maybe Chris Paul, he just doesn't feel like putting up with it. I know he's a tough player. You know, he realizes that he's got a small window. And he's not getting any younger, man. So you got to like the toughness and the mental capacity that Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce bring to the Clippers, Rob, because they've won rings. They've won championships. And you saw how they didn't want to give up. You know they took the Knicks all the way to the brink of the series. So, you know, that type of attitude, I'm sure that's what Chris Paul needs. He needs somebody that's going to say, hey, you know, let's have that mental toughness that obviously Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan do not have just yet. So, you know, I'm not saying it's – I agree with you in that it may be a little too late. And there's no – what's the word I'm looking for? We always know that Doc Rivers is not a fan of Rajon Rondo. So I can see that actually, you know, sort of happening in that instance. But, you know, for now it's just a rumor, and we'll see how everything plays out for sure.
Yeah, this is, you know, stay tuned. Of course, nothing won't be able to happen here until summer here, until July, before anything like this will probably translate. So we still have a lot of time on this.
We're having a good time. Once again, please listen, give us your thoughts, tell us what you think about. Are we crazy? Are we making sense? I'll throw out the number one more time. We got about 7.5 minutes left, Rob, 7 minutes and 45 seconds here. 424-243-9519 is that number. And we are moving right along. We're kind of switching gears here as we start talking about some NFL teams and whatnot. Some mini camps are getting underway, Rob, and some have actually been finished here. But let's talk about the top five teams that we think that we have going into this season. So I'm going to throw mine out, and just I'm curious to see what you're going to say as well. That's why we are just having fun with this, and I'm sure it's going to be interesting. So first and foremost, Rob, to my chagrin, but a lot of love to the Bay Area. We got the San Francisco 49ers, probably the top team. I got the Seattle Seahawks at number two, also to my chagrin, but that's okay. I've got the Atlanta Falcons at number three. I've got the Denver Broncos at number four. And going as the fifth team, I've got the Houston Texans. That's what I have right now. I don't know, that last pick, that's kind of something I don't know. I'm thinking about that one, but I like my top four at this juncture.
Not bad. We have, I think, four of the five same teams in different orders, of course, here.
Same thing there, Rob?
Let's see here. I don't want to give away my juice just yet here. But number one, I have the San Francisco 49ers here. So you and I are in total agreement with that. Had a spectacular draft, and they also improved their roster a little bit here as well. This is a team that went to the Super Bowl. And so I have them at the number one slot. And this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for them to possibly win the Super Bowl before they have to give Colin Kaepernick a big contract. And if you notice, if you go back and look at the last 3 to 5 years, these teams that are winning Super Bowls, or they're winning them with teams where the quarterback doesn't necessarily have the big contract yet. So those are your windows to win. You look at the Ravens this past year. They won the Super Bowl before they have to give Flacco the big contract and get rid of other players. And so right now the 49ers have that window with Kaepernick, where you can add so many different players because he's still playing on the second-round draft choice contract. And so that's going to benefit them. Right now they're my number one team. Number two, you and I slightly disagree. You have Seattle. I have the Denver Broncos. I think that they're another team that also improved their roster. They got more depth at running back this year. It should be better at the receiver position as well. And the weakness on defense, of course, was their secondary. We'll see if they improved in that department. And but I have the Denver Broncos second in that department. And I have Seattle Seahawks number three. This is another team I think is going to be even better. They improved their defense with more pass rushers. We know how good their secondary is. We know how good their offensive line is. Solid running game, good quarterback play. And they may even be better at the receiver position with Percy Harvin. So on paper, this looks like the third best team in the league. And number four, it's hard for me to say this, but I'm going to give you Atlanta Falcons some credit here. And I have them number four top five. Explosive at the wide receiver position. Still very solid at the QB position. It's going to be interesting as far as to see if their pass rushing corners are improved. But on paper, offensively, they're going to be hard to stop with the receivers and tight end that they have and adding Steven Jackson to their offense. And so definitely offensively, they'll be a tough team to stop this coming season. And number five, the only team where we differentiate here, I have the New England Patriots at the number five position, even though, you know, my homeboy from Pittsburgh, you know, made the comments that Tom Brady under pressure foams. But, you know, just about every quarterback foams under pressure if you get the right pressure on them, you know, pressure in the quarterback. And but I still like the Patriots. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, as long as those two guys are together, they're going to be in the hunt. They may not win a championship every year, but they're going to be in the hunt. And right now I have them at number five.
Very nice. I really appreciate the love for the Falcons, too, man. This is another show I'm going to have to go back and reference, man. This is going to the archives, man, so I appreciate that. Before we talk about punter Chris Cluey, hope I got his name correct, let's talk about Terrell Owens. Is this true as far as the rumors of him signing with the Patriots? Is this actually going to happen, you think, or is this just kind of like word on the street, man? Because he actually says it'll be a no-brainer. Are they actually reaching out to Mr. Owens to sign him?
Well, I do think the Patriots can use some more explosive at the receiver position, but I don't think Terrell Owens is that guy, though. I think this is just all talk. I don't see this happening. You're talking about he's not, of course, the same player he once was. He can't catch the ball. I mean, you know, he might be better as a defensive back right now at this point in his career. He can't hold on to football. So, no, I don't see this happening. It's just Terrell Owens being Terrell Owens, but he won't be joining the New England Patriots.
Gotcha. We are perfect, Robert. We're at the two-minute mark. We are getting ready to jump into the OT portion of the show. If you want to kind of set it up, sir, we still have some other things to talk about. We're going to talk about a very outspoken punter that maybe that was actually released. We're also going to talk about will the Cowboys, America's team, make the playoffs? Some Tim Tebow talk and also Vinny Testaverde in the College Football Hall of Fame. So we still have some things to talk about. Without further ado, I want to about 90 seconds, sir, get ready to set the show for next week.
Yeah, America, join us next Tuesday night. We'll be back same time, same place, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian, and 5 a.m. for our friends on Wednesday morning in Germany. So make sure you guys join us next week. We'll be more into the NBA playoffs. We'll continue to talk some football, of course, and we'll also start getting into the NBA draft here real soon. We're bringing down some of that coverage as well. So you don't want to miss it. We've got a lot to talk about. And we'll start here getting into the summertime and start making some predictions in the NFL and the college football season coming up. So we still got a lot to cover, so make sure you stay tuned. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, people. Good night.
Good night, people. As always, thank you for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with Tough Men. I am Robert. I'm not Robert Ford. My co-host is Robert Ford. I'm Andre Peterson. It's been a long day, but we are every Tuesday. I'm wrapping up, but it's all good. It's been a long day, as mentioned, but we are here. Thank you so much for listening. As Robert said, man, tune in next week and also find us on Facebook. We do a lot of updates, a lot of fun pictures. I love it today. And also we're also on Twitter at 12 Man Sports. as well. So that's what we have going on. We got 10 minutes to go, but we are here for tune in to the out to our next portion of the OT, and we will keep it going for sure. With that, we are out.
Good night, people.
Man, awesome, awesome, awesome. We are now in the OT portion of the show, and let's jump right into it. There's been a situation where hope I got his name right, Robert. Is it Cluey? Chris Cluey, the punter for
Cluey,
the Vikings?
Yeah,
yeah, he gets released by the Vikings, and the word on the street is that he actually had some interesting comments that said that he's thinking that may have actually hastened that release. What do you think about this, sir? I don't know, you can kind of talk about the story real quick, too.
Well, you know, on the surface, you know, he probably feels like, you know, him being outspoken is the reason why he got released. I don't necessarily see it that way. I think if guys are good enough to be in a ball club, you know, there are a lot of players in this league that are outspoken and don't get cut as a result of it. Maybe what he said, but I still don't think that was the reason why he was released. I think that the Vikings found somebody that could possibly be better to the ball club. And ultimately, if the guy is good enough to kick and the best available option for the Vikings, I don't think they will release him. But on the surface, people are going to assume this is the reason why he was released based on his comments that he supports gay marriages. And so it's very controversial right now. I know we tapped into this a little bit on last week, you know, how, you know, backwards our society is a little bit. And but, you know, I don't think this is the reason why he's being released.
Chris Cluey, I know he's got like a blog. He has like a lot of things. I agree with you. He definitely has some things to say about punters, kickers not making it into the Hall of Fame. Very outspoken about that, which I think he has a point in that, Rob. But you got to look at maybe it's something with the locker room, too. I mean, maybe the players didn't like where he was going with that and the situation where too much controversy may have led to that. But like you said, it's a situation where you kind of have to look at the bigger picture. Maybe, you know, he's, like I said, I don't know enough about him to say if he's actually being effective as well. You know, I got to check out their draft, see if they actually drafted a punter, if they can replace him. So, you know, I concur with you. This could be a situation where a lot of things could have contributed to it. But like you said, at this juncture, he has actually been released. So we'll see if he gets another job in the NFL for sure.
Absolutely. Stay tuned. Now, if he doesn't get another tryout, then maybe he has been blackballed by the league because of the comment.
Yeah, we'll keep it going, too. Oh, man, I like this topic, Rob. You got a question about will the Dallas Cowboys, how about the Cowboys, make the playoffs this season? And, man, sorry, America's team, all my Cowboys fans out there, nothing personal. I just think you have a problem at the quarterback position, and I don't think you'll win until – actually, there's two things that are stopping the Cowboys, and there's four words, Tony Romo and Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones is ever since he's taken over the team and making the dumbest, questionably the dumbest move in the draft, getting the guy that looks like Duck Dynasty, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this season. So they made a lot of change. They changed the defensive coordinator. You want to keep things kind of uniform. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think there's too much change going on in that particular organization.
Wow, America, you guys are going to be shocked by my answer to this question.
Uh-oh.
And I'm one of the biggest Cowboy haters there is on the planet. But I'm going to say, yes, the Cowboys will make the playoffs this year. And I'm going to even take it a step further. I think this team will win the NFC East this coming season.
Hold on. Is this Robert Ford? Is there another person that's in person, Robert Ford, on the other line?
You know, there's two teams that I hate. There's the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys. So, see, I know it may be hard. I picked the Falcons in my top five. Now I'm picking the Cowboys to make the playoffs. Can't believe what I'm doing here. But, you know, I'm just going to call it like I see it. That's the way I try to approach everything. And so I'm going to say, yes, the Cowboys are going to make the playoffs, and they're going to win the NFC East. I think moving their defense to a 4-3 is going to help DeMarcus Ware and Anthony Spencer tremendously. And I think they have solid cornerback play with Morris Peterson, Brandon Carr. that's really going to help this ball club out. Obviously, I don't like what they did in the draft, you know, moving down, taking Travis Frederick, the center. And but if you look at this team, I think Dez Bryant is a star to making if you keep his head on straight. You know, you got Jason Witten. Romo could be a little erratic. But, you know, when you really analyze that NFC East, you know, we don't know how healthy Robert Griffin III is going to be, you know, at the start of the season. And I think that's the team that's going to get off to a slow start. And I think the Eagles, you know, with a new coaching staff, we don't know what the quarterback situation is going to be like. I think this is another team that's going to take Chip Kelly a little while to get used to the NFL culture. It's just my personal opinion. And then the only other team you have to look at is the New York Giants. And, you know, and I think the Giants will be the second-best team in this division. I think they'll have a slight rebound. But they're another team that could be on the downward path as well. And so, you know, really looking at this NFC East division, I think it's setting up for the Cowboys to be division champs.
As
bad
as
it hurts for me to say it.
I just don't know what to say, Rob. I am totally speechless, but that's okay. That's why we are doing the sports talk show, but that's okay. We'll keep it going. I've said my piece, and we'll just have to wait and see what's going to happen, too, for sure. Wow, I'm going to have to write this time down in this date. Robert says the Cowboys are making the playoffs. All right, let's keep it going here to our last two topics here before we wrap up the show. Is Tim Tebow the most influential athlete? I'm going to start with you, sir. What do you think about this? You actually think this? He's pretty influential? What do you think?
Well, you know, according to Forbes, he's the most influential athlete on the planet. It's hard for me to believe that. And like I said, you know, I know we've been very critical of Tim Tebow's play on the football field, but I think you and I think I can speak for the both of us. We are, you know, appreciate him as a human being and what he
yes.
stands for and things of that nature. And but it's hard for me to imagine, you know, him being the most influential athlete when there are guys, you know, out here like LeBron James, when there are guys out here like a Peyton Manning, when there are guys out here like Drew Brees. And so it's just hard for me to imagine Tim Tebow being more influential than these players. And if I'm not mistaken, I think LeBron James was number two on the list, Peyton Manning three. I think Drew Brees was number six. And it's just hard for me to believe that Tim Tebow will be ranked ahead of guys like that, ranked ahead of Gabby Douglas, who I think was also ranked high on the list. You know, it's just hard for me to imagine that he's more influential as an athlete than some of those athletes we just mentioned.
I'm going to have to go against you, Rob, only because of the fact is that you got a guy that has taken a lot of things by storm, and you know, he's not the best player. We definitely agree upon that. But, I mean, you can do you can have anyone go anywhere, and you can be Tebow, and everyone knows what you're doing. So you talk about somebody that's taken that to another level. That is very influential, sir. I mean, you know, you can Tebow this, you can add this, you know, Saturday Night Live. You know, you can have own little things. I mean, it's just he has been a very influential
athlete.
He's
not even on a team right now.
And he's not, but that doesn't mean anything, sir. I mean, like you said, that's kind of the thing. I mean, we both agree he's not the best player, and that's clearly evident who he's not signed. But for somebody that's made an impact in the game, I mean, he has. I mean, he's very controversial. We're still talking about him, you know, and we're trying to figure out where he's going to go. So, you know, even if he
somehow
doesn't
he
get
makes
back
it
into the
to our
league,
show almost every week.
He does make it, and like you said, you can't help but talk about him, you know, and that's kind of a situation, you know, where Manti Te'o, no matter how you talk about him, and his, I mean, that joke can go on forever, sir. We can talk about invisible girlfriends, and you're going to know what everyone's talking about. So it's a situation you can always know about Tebowing. You know, you're always going to have that effect or something as far as what's going on, too. So I think he has a lot more influence than we think. Clearly, like we talked about, you'd like for him to be a better player. I mean, kind of whenever Linsanity was going on, at least he was a decent player going through that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he has a lot of influence, bottom line. Oh, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. But to have him ranked over some of those other names we just talked about, That's just hard for me to believe. But, yes, he is influential, no doubt about it.
Jump on board, Rob. Jump on the Tebow train, man, and do your little Tebow. And I bet you were Tebowing somewhere too, man. If you even stopped and dropped to one knee, everyone will know what you're talking about. I guarantee you that. So, and that's an influence. I don't care. You know, you may not like everything that he stands for, but everyone knows, you know, you're going to Tebow or, you know, you got people around the world doing that, man. You got Facebook.
No, I like
folks,
him as a human being. I like what he stands for. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I mean, we all do. Like I said, you know, we respect it. But like I said, I'm telling you, that's a lot of influence. You can have this, shirts, whatever, endorsements, and you can still stand behind what you're talking about. So let's just keep it real in that aspect. Finally, as we wrap up the topics tonight, Mr. College Football, we're going to talk about that. Vinny Testaverde. Man. College Football Hall of Fame. What do you think? Does he deserve to be in this, or is this kind of like a play? What do you think about this?
Well, you know, all I can think about is remember him going against Penn State in that national championship game and throwing those 5 interceptions. Mm. And ever since then, people have been calling him colorblind because he went to the NFL in his first year. He threw 35 interceptions with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so it's, you know, I know he's a Heisman Trophy winner, had a very good college career. But the last impression I have of him as a college player, I remember watching this game, 1987, if I'm not mistaken, you know, throwing 5 interceptions in a national championship game against a Penn State team was an underdog in that game. So maybe I'm being overly critical, but that's just my lasting impression of him as a college football player. So it's hard for me to imagine him going to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, look at his stats, Rob, and, you know, stats don't lie, sir. You said it right there. They actually made it to a championship game. So what does that say long term? Does this cat deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? You know, maybe. And I don't have his stats pulled up. Actually, I should have done that, so forgive me. So, you know. But
you shouldn't admit that.
I got the stats right here, sir. Ha! You know what's interesting? He was drafted the first overall in the 1987 draft. So what does that mean, sir? Man, that dude was making – he was doing some things, man. So, you know, it's interesting, man. So obviously he played – some. It's funny, Rob. I'm trying to think of the right words. But certain, you have to look at certain players and certain teams that are better. You know, like, you know, there's – you know, whenever Ken Dorsey played for Miami – same thing as Vinny Testaverde. You know, he had a great team around him. So, you know, that's the situation. He was a consensus All-American. He won the Heisman. You know, he's the all-time leader in career touchdown passes with 48. You know, obviously, he didn't do that well. They lost 14-10, you know, throwing 5 interceptions. But, you know, he did a lot for that particular dynasty, man, for Miami. So, you know. The stats don't lie in that instance, and I'll let you wrap up as we get ready to wrap up this, as we got 2 minutes left, and I don't know if you want to say anything else about that.
Well, yeah, you know, one last thing I will say is Vinny Testaverde did help. You know, I think Bernie Kosar was the QB that really took Miami to the next level and got them competitive for many years, and Testaverde was kind of like that next guy after Kosar. I will give him a lot of credit for that. And definitely had a very good college career. Like I said, I may be being overly critical because my lasting impression is that national championship game where he threw those 5 interceptions. That being said, it's hard to take away from some of the other things that he accomplished as a Heisman Trophy winner and college football player and helping put Miami football on the map.
Yes, sir.
But once again, people, join us next Tuesday night. We got a lot more to cover here. We got the NFL. We got the NBA. We got the NBA draft. We're going to be previewing some college football coming up here real soon. And it's getting to that time of the year, folks. So once again, join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. Hawaiian. And that will be Wednesday morning, 5 a.m. for our good friends in Germany. So you all need to tune in. We got a lot more to talk about. Once again, like us on Facebook, Talking Sports at the 12th Man. Follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. We update, we give you constant information on what's happening in the sports world, so you don't want to miss it. Make sure you like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Any closing remarks, Dr. Dre?
tonight, people. Thanks for tuning in. That's what it's all about, talking sports with the 12th man.
Good night, people.
Good night.